Welcome to the Your Own Medicine podcast. Thank you for listening. My name is Callie Klug, and I am a yoga teacher and somatic practitioner in Southern California. Your Own Medicine podcast was really created with this idea and this intention of bringing knowledge to you to access the medicine within you and within your own body. So thank you for listening. Let's go. Hello and welcome to this week's podcast. I'm very excited for this one. If you don't know who Parvati Shallow is, she's literally a certified badass. She played Survivor 4 times and she won with a group of women with like all women's alliance called the Black Widow Brigade, the Witches. And she won. She played 4 times. She was recently on a show called Traitors, where she was the traitor, the Duchess of Deception, and the Mistress of Murder. And she killed it on there too. So she has a lot of experience being disliked on the macro level and on the micro level. So in her personal life, in the, you know, public eye as well. And she is truly a liberated villain, and I have learned from her personally as a coach. She was my coach, and just seeing her, how she lives her life, allowing people to dislike her, and genuinely, I don't know, it's liberating when you're able to let that be the case, that you are the villain and that's okay. You know, would it be so bad if you were? So we get into that in this workshop, and if you're interested in working with us, we are hosting a program called How Villains Are Made, which is, it's an incredible program. It's 6 weeks on Zoom live with us. If you can't make the lives, we offer all the recordings, and yeah, it's a beautiful group. Last year we ran it, and we had people afterwards saying they got raises and all these promotions. And then they like, we had someone say they stopped drinking afternoon coffee because they didn't need it anymore, because they felt like they were spending so much energy people pleasing, but they didn't do that after the course. So they didn't need their coffee because they had extra energy. So just really cool results for people. If you want more testimonials, we have like video testimonials and written ones on our page, which I'll link below. Doors close for this on April 7th, so as long as you register before then, you're in and you're good to go. And I hope you enjoy the workshop.
Okay. So let's get started with the meditation. Kelly and I are going to introduce ourselves, so you will get a sense of who we are individually, and you'll get a sense of who we are as teachers and facilitators in this webinar experience. But for now, let's just center in and ground in, and I'm going to lead us through a meditation. So come to a place where you feel comfortable closing your eyes and find your comfortable seat. If you're sitting on a chair, you can uncross your legs and bring both feet flat on the floor. Bring your hands down to your thighs, turn your palms face down, and just give your thighs a gentle rub back and forth. So you're bringing your presence, your attention into the palms, into your fingertips, really feeling that tactile sensation of your hands rubbing against your legs. Bringing yourself into the here and now, and then let your hands just relax gently on your thighs. With your eyes closed, start to settle your body down into the support of the chair. Feeling the weight of your body, feeling the density and the weight of your bones, helping to draw you downward. And as you let go and settle into the support of the chair, you may notice the support of the chair rising up to meet your weight. The more you let go, the more you can feel that support holding you. And then noticing the edges of your body, starting at the face and the head, Noticing the edges of your arms and shoulders, your chest and upper back. And noticing torso around the edges of your hips and legs, down through the soles of your feet. And now bringing your attention to the space inside your head. See if you can expand the space inside your head, make it bigger. And notice the space inside your throat, all that space inside your neck. And as you do this, maybe the muscles of your neck and throat relax and soften. And bringing your attention to the space inside your chest. Noticing the heart space and all that space around the heart. Really expanding the space in the chest and back. Noticing the space in your ribs. Let it grow. All the space in your belly and your navel. And all this space in your pelvis, filling and expanding the space in your pelvic bowl. And from this connection to this space inside of us, we ask for a clearing of any fear, any worry, any doubt, any over-responsibility, taking responsibility for someone else's emotional state or feelings or actions. Any self-doubt, worry, confusion, any anxiety of the future, or any fear of what's to come. We ask that all of these limitations, constrictions, this tension, fear be cleared and washed away. Let it move downward through the body, all the way down through the legs, and let it empty and drain out of the soles of the feet, washing down into the earth, allowing the earth to receive all of this energy that's no longer serving your highest good. Let it be drained into the earth, where it can be mulched and composted into new growth, new life. And we clear and open the space for a possibility, for creative problem solving, for solutions, for new ways of thinking and orienting to life. From this conversation, we allow ourselves to tune into our own bodies and our own ways of listening and hearing. And we open up the space so that each individual here in this webinar can hear what it is that they need to hear and receive what they need to receive from this conversation today. And as you're ready, you can set your intention for your experience today, and then you can gently blink your eyes open. And maybe pop in the Q&A. How that was for you. Have you ever done a meditation like that before? Did you feel the shift? And because we're here talking about our villains program, I'm curious, and Callie had this question as well. What do you think of when you hear the word villain? What does the word villain evoke in your mind? Is there resistance to it? Are you fascinated? Do you wish you had that power? Are you scared of it? Go ahead and throw your answers into the Q&A. And we will read some of them out loud. Because you are all participating, but I don't think you can read the Q&A.
Someone said, no one likes negative connotation. Heroes versus villains, I want to become that. Someone disliked damaging, a little scary. Scary. I wish I could be like a villain. Someone who's misunderstood. Someone said, living your true authentic self. Ooh, unabashed confidence.
Villains do what they want. Melissa, I love that one. And then someone also said, I don't want to seem mean as a villain. So it's really interesting. I mean, we picked the word villain because it is a controversial word. And when I was cast on Survivor season 20 as a villain, at first I was offended. I was like, what? I'm not a villain. And then they had Ceri and Amanda from my previous season in Micronesia, who were part of the same blind sides as me on the Heroes tribe. And I thought, well, what makes me a villain and them a hero? And as I sat with it, I was like, well, I think it's just because I won. I think because I won, I'm the villain. Because the villain, from my definition and perspective of what a villain is very powerful. And a villain really gets, like, they go after what they want, and they're not ashamed to go after what they want, and they're willing to do what it takes to get what they want. And being a person who won that season, I think that was the only line of demarcation that, you know, put me as a villain versus Amanda and Ceri as heroes, since they did the same things, but I claimed it. I owned it. I was like, yeah, I did all these mean, nasty things, but I wanted to win the game, and this is how you do it. So I think there's something about also standing up for yourself, going after what you want, and then claiming it and owning it. That scene is like, that's not very nice. What's your take, Callie?
Yeah, that's interesting what you're saying too, because I never really thought of it like that, where you guys were literally in the same alliance. You guys all got to the end of the same season, but you were on the villains tribe and they were on the heroes tribe. Yeah, I feel like a villain is just someone who is unapologetic about who they are. And yeah, to me, that's what it is. And they just are authentically themselves with confidence, whether or not people like it.
Yeah, and someone added in Okiona, who was in my previous course. It feels nice to me because it's not like a martyr, which is what I think of when I think of a hero. And that's so interesting too, because that was my experience on Heroes and Villains when I accepted that this was my now new title, that I'm a villain. It was liberating. It gave me the freedom to not to have to pretend to be nice and not to have to self-sacrifice for the greater good or for someone else, which you really don't want to do in a game like Survivor. And in certain circumstances in your life, you don't want to do either. And let's go ahead and get into that people-pleasing topic that we love so much.
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen. So apologies in advance if there's any funkiness. Never done a webinar before. And okay, here we are. And wait a second. Okay. So welcome to this webinar. Embracing Your Inner Villain is kind of the
the ring of today. So we're going to introduce who we are, because I know both of us were promoting this webinar. So some of you might know me, some of you might know Parv. So we're going to take a minute and introduce who we are and what we're bringing to this webinar, and then also to our course, How Villains Are Made. So my name is Callie. My brand is Callie Somatics. I have a background in yoga and meditation. That's like my original base of my training is yoga and meditation. I actually went to Rishikesh, India, the Himalayas of India, to study that in 2019. It was amazing. It was hard. It was exhausting, but it was, I learned a lot. From there, I started to get more into Tantra yoga, which is more, if you think about traditional yoga, especially with like asana and meditation and breath work, all of these things are very focused on upper chakra work. So how can I rise above feelings of discomfort? How can I rise above pain, anger, so on and so forth, and kind of like upper chakra work in that sense. In Tantra yoga, it's all about lower chakra work. So how can I feel the anger? How can I feel the pain, move through it, process it? How can I ground down into the lower chakras, more into my body, acknowledging the sensations in the body instead of trying to dissociate from it? And then from there, that kind of led me into a somatic trauma therapy lens for my teaching, which is essentially like the Western view of Tantra, basically. So it's kind of more clinical feeling embodiment practices with somatic experiencing, Hakomi method, parts work, IFS, all of that. So that's my background in terms of trainings. And then in terms of life experience, so Parv has this incredible resume, a very public resume for her villain cert credentials. And we're about to get into that in a moment with a video. But for myself, so my name is Callie. When I look into the roots of my name, it is Kali, which is this Hindu goddess. And she's known as the Great Mother or the Dark Mother. And she's the goddess of death. You can see these pictures are pretty shocking. She often is holding heads and dancing on people, and she has this like necklace of skulls or heads. And basically, Kali, what she does is she burns away and kills away everything in your life that isn't authentic, that doesn't serve you, to make space for the new, for the authentic, for the better, basically. So in my own life, in the past couple of years, I've really experienced like the school of life in terms of this work, where I was studying this work, I was studying healing from fawning. And as some of you might even know, when you start to implement these things, some of the people in your life might not love it. And I experienced a lot of that pushback in many ways from all sides. Basically, I feel like Kali came in and just burned everything up. And so all of the practices that I had used and I mean, learned, I quickly had to use them in very real life situations. So that's kind of my story. And then we're gonna move now into Parvati's story. So she's known as the, I mean, Parv is honestly, you're a legend in the survivor world. She's known as the leader of the Black Widow Brigade, among many other things. And I'm going to show a quick clip to just show y'all visually the resume. Oh, did I stop sharing my screen? Okay. There we go. Okay. Hopefully the sound works. If it doesn't, just let me know. Can you hear it?
No. But I love this old school flashback with me and Nate. Best.
Let's see.
Okay, while Callie's playing around with that, One of the reasons why I felt called to work with Callie in creating this villains program now is because the key element to me transforming my life and aligning with the like what who I really am and what I really want required me to be okay with other people not liking me. It was a requirement. Like Callie mentioned, in order for her to have the peace and the joy and the happiness in her life that she needed to have, she had to make some people upset because she was making some changes in her life. The same for me, coming out of a marriage and deciding to get divorced it's not an easy thing to do. I think for anyone, regardless of how your relationship, how well it's going or not well it's going, it's a massive step to take to decide to end something like that. And you know you're going to piss some people off in choosing yourself. And for me, I like the scariest part of it was like, how is my child going to perceive me once I take these steps to end this marriage? And who knows what's next for me? I didn't really know what was coming for me on the other side of that, but I had enough experience inside of the relationship, or in a lot of people in work relationships, or even if you have family members where you're like, this doesn't feel good for a long enough amount of time. I'm not myself in this. I'm not able to grow or express myself safely. I don't feel me in this container. If you're at that point in your life where you're like feeling stifled or feeling like you can't grow or feeling like you really are stuck and need a change, it's possible that the biggest barrier to you making that change in your life is how you perceive that people are going to think of you once you take the step. So leaving the job that you have been, you know, working your whole life towards, or the relationship that you've been devoting yourself to, or a family situation, or moving even. These, like, we need to leave things behind in order to grow sometimes. And friendships don't always grow with us, and relationships don't always grow with us, and careers don't always grow with us. So in order to leave these kinds of things, there are certain ways that we need to embody, like we need to show up inside of ourselves in order to give ourselves the permission to leave these things behind, to outgrow things that we've outgrown. And I think loyalty is something that I think a lot of people, especially in the United States, in our culture, we've been trained to value loyalty at such a high level, at a premium, where it's like, if you quit something like a team, you're abandoning your team, you're being disloyal. Or if you quit a relationship, you're being disloyal or something like that. And that can be seen as a really negative thing. And there are some of these characteristics of the hero, like loyalty, that can turn really toxic if we stay in a situation that's not working for us, it's not healthy for us. So in order to get out of those situations, embodying a villain and being willing to have people talk badly about you, think negative things about you, maybe even say those things to your face, maybe even smear you to other people. This happens on Survivor all the time. So it's like a pretty normal Tuesday on the island. But in your real life, it can be really hard to think of other people saying negative things about you or not liking you or thinking of you as a villain. So I really wanted to work with Callie to build this course so that anyone who's here, who's in a place of, I really want to make a change in my life, but I'm afraid that other people are going to be offended or upset, I wanted to give you the tools and the skills and the support to make those changes so you could really align with the life that you're meant to live. and enjoy yourself. Because there's just like so much freedom beyond people pleasing. And it's a really great over here on the other side. And we can get you there. Is it working now, Callie?
Let's try it one more time. And if not, we'll just move forward without the video. So let me know, Harvey, you can tell me, and then also in the chat or the Q&A.
Max, you know, as a unit, because he's one to try to eat us off.
Really, all I wanted to do was take Jonathan's face and just throw up all over it.
Can you hear it?
Kind of.
I was jumping a coconut with the Chevy. That's
like, it's really quiet.
Go ahead and pull in Alexis and Natalie and take them with me and Amanda for the four. Everyone else? They're done to me.
I think we can pause this. It's not really working that well. And we can probably just work through the next.
Okay, let's go back then to the slideshow. I still super recommend, if you don't know who Parvati is, check her out on YouTube, because they're hilarious, the talking heads of you. Okay, here we go. What's happening? Okay. All right. Take it away.
Okay. So pleasing or fawning, for those of you who are unfamiliar with this term, fawning, is it's one of the survival states. So just like fight, flight, freeze, fawn is another one of those survival states. And it's instinctive. It's just, it's like you just give people what they want in order to stay safe. So anytime we are perceiving a threat, and to be clear, one of our survival needs is love and belonging. So we need to belong in order to feel safe. To a group of people, and here on Survivor, I needed to belong to a strong alliance or to a tribe in order to feel safe. Fawning is one of my like primary survival states, and it's really works for me. Some people have, you know, fight or flight or freeze as their primary state, but fawning is one of the most socially rewarded survival states of all time. Because if you think about it, it's like, if you are going for a job interview, and for me, it was like going through the casting process of Survivor, I just show up as this pliable piece of clay with a big smile on my face, super friendly, super giggly, super easygoing, happy-go-lucky. I will give you whatever you want. You ask me a question, I will answer it with the brightest smile on my face, even if it's the rudest question I've ever received in my life, because I want something from you. And you are the person who has the power to give it to me. So if we think about fawning, it usually occurs when there's an imbalance in the power dynamic. So say you're going for a job interview, you may rely on, like, your fawning might kick in for that job interview to help you get the job by getting this person to like you. Callie and I found out as we were setting up this program that we both won a superlative in high school for being the friendliest, which basically means we're expert fawners, like the best of all time. So as I share this with you about this survival mode, I really want to make it super clear that there's no judgment or shame around people pleasing or fawning. It's an instinctive drive that we have that kicks in when we're feeling uncertain or unsafe, or like we need something from somebody else in order to be safe or in order to get what we want. And it helped me win Survivor. So I'm really good at it. And I also know what happens in my body when I'm fawning. So I want to just like encourage you to remember a time when you had some scenario where there was a power imbalance, or you wanted something from somebody who had the power to give it to you. And you showed up, or maybe even in a social setting, this is sort of your go-to, where you show up and you are just mega excited. Like your light is jacked up to 2200 watts. Like you are bright beaming. You're giving to other people. You're laughing. You're using your arms. You're wheeling and dealing. You're chit-chatting. You're moving around to place to place or whatever. You're just like cracking jokes. And then afterwards, when you get home and you're alone, you just feel completely zonked, like totally crushed. That's the experience of fawning. It's a mask that we wear, and it's just this sort of armor that we suit up on with, and it's really exhausting after it's over because it puts our body into fight or flight. It's this like adrenaline charged experience. So what would it be like for you to not fawn? Like for me, I didn't even know what that was. I thought my personality was my fawn response. Like my fawn response was my personality. And then as I've learned more about it, I'm like, oh my God, my fawn response, my people pleasing, my like need to be liked and my need to be happy and joyful and playful and engaging all the time, even when I don't feel like it, is a trauma response. It's a survival instinct. It's not actually my personality. It's not actually who I am, which was really a light bulb moment for me. And it also came with a crisis where I was like, oh my God, if that's not who I am, then who am I? And then there was grief inside of that where I was like, oh my God, I've been being a fake this whole time. So then I went in through this whole process of like unraveling. If I'm not this response, if that's not who I am, I've been phony this whole time. I've been pretending. I've been playing a role this whole time. I don't even know who I am. People pleasing is like fawning. It's actually manipulative. It's trying to get something from somebody. So who would I be if I showed up without trying to get something from somebody? Who would I be if I just moved into a restaurant or a date or a job interview or a phone call in a relaxed place where I didn't have to perform? Would people still like me? Would I still have friends? Would I be able to have success in my life? Like, could I create a life that is based in authenticity and not in this performance? And it's been a really incredible journey for me where I've unraveled this response. I've been able to see it and now I can move beyond it. But it's definitely taken some incredible support. I've had so much support to get to this place beyond fawning because you first have to recognize that you're doing it in order to be able to stop doing it. And there are sensations in our bodies that signal when we're fawning versus when we're in authentic alignment and being our real selves. So what fawning created for me in my life was this feeling of emptiness and this feeling of inauthenticity and a whole lot of social anxiety. Like I felt anytime I was invited to a party, I would get like hot flashes and freak out and be like, oh my God, would I have enough energy? Would I know what to say? Would people like me? And since I've deactivated my fawn response and I've started working on real authentic alignment, I can go to any party, I can walk into any room and I feel comfortable and I can talk to anybody. And that is also something that's possible for you if you're someone who struggles with that kind of anxiety or those kinds of feelings of overthinking, what are other people thinking about me? You can heal that. So I'll stop there and ask you to pop in the Q&A how this is landing for you, if any of this is resonating for you, if you have any questions, and then I'll turn it over to Callie. A body, okay, Aaron's asking, interesting, a body feeling, how do we listen to our bodies more and our brain less? Perfect segue. Callie?
Oh, okay. So yes, I just want to say one thing too about everything that you just said is that gap, but when you start to realize, wow, I'm fawning a lot, how can I do this less? I don't know about you, Parv, but for me, there was a gap, kind of an awkward gap, where I started to fawn less. And then there was some people in my life that were like, it didn't feel any different. If anything, it felt better for me because I was being more authentic. I wasn't as tired after interactions. And I was like, oh, cool. They really like me for who I am when I'm not trying and masking and fawning. And then there was a lot of people that didn't like it in my personal life, my work life, in a lot of different aspects of my life. So there can be an awkward gap that can happen. And if you haven't experienced that, or you have, our course is really designed to help you through that gap as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because there is a moment in time where it's like you're completely shifting away from who you once were. And as you're turning away, there's that in-between space of, well, I don't know who my community is. I haven't really landed in myself yet. And I don't have a clear direction forward. So it can feel lonely and it can feel really isolating. So what you're sharing, Callie, is having some support through that space and time can really help people to land. It can really help you land on the other side. And then you have a community and you can continue to build the community that will strengthen your authentic self in your truest life.
Yeah, exactly. Because when you're going through that, kind of like Parv said, like, I don't even know what I like. Do I even like going to parties, or am I just acting while I'm there? And so, yeah, it's really nice to have some kind of support system that can carry you through to the other side, because it can get rough out there. So yeah, I just wanted to mention that. Okay.
A lot of people are asking about how to deactivate fawning, and that's exactly where we're going, right, Kelly?
Yeah, so we're going to do a practice right now, a somatic practice. So for anyone that doesn't know as well, somatic, or the word somatic, means anything that is body-based. So soma is the ancient Greek word for body. So a somatic practice is just, it's almost like the meditation that we did at the beginning with Parvati. It's just focused on how does this feel in my body. So we're going to, for a moment, turn our awareness away from the chat, or I guess no one can see it but us. So do what you need to do. And we're going to start to turn inwards. And this is a little two-part practice where we're going to notice how it feels in our body to fawn, just like Parvati mentioned, like, how does this feel on the level of my body? And then we're going to start to connect to a part of us that has capacity to not fawn. You could even call it this, like, villain part, that doesn't really care what people think, that can be disliked and can take it, and has this confidence that already exists within you. We're not creating it. We're not fabricating it. We're just locating it where it already exists within you. So go ahead and take a moment, fidget, readjust, get nice and comfortable. If it helps you to turn away from the screen, lie down, practice yoga, whatever helps you tune into your body. And go ahead and take a moment, start to rub the hands on the thighs if that feels helpful, and maybe start to close down the eyes. And start to soften the breath. And once again, you can feel the chair under your seat. And then start to call to mind a recent time when you felt like you were fawning. Kind of like what Parvati described, where you're going to a party, you feel a need to push past the boundaries of what you really want to be giving to this person. Not like a 10 out of 10. We're going for like a 4 out of 10 kind of moment. And as you start to call that to mind, go ahead and notice what happens in your body. How does the chest feel? the breath, what's happening in your belly, in the pelvis, the arms and legs. Do you feel any kind of words or laughter bubbling up? What's happening with your posture? And then go ahead and start to notice, where's the epicenter of this feeling? For me, it's usually my chest, my solar plexus. So finding one place on the body that's the epicenter. And go ahead and bring a hand over that space. And just imagine that this hand on your body is the most loving touch that exists in the whole world. And let this touch meet this ache. And start to allow the inhale to meet the hand. And you can even ask this part of you, what do you need from me? And just notice what comes up. And then we're going to give this part of you a sound. So inhale through the nose. As you exhale, exhale with the sound. Two more times on your own. And then come back to that sensation, feeling into the loving touch of your hand, noticing if that sensation has shifted or changed. And now, once again, call to mind the moment that you just thought of, that moment of fawning. And notice a part of your body that does not respond. So we notice all the parts that respond, maybe the parts that kind of tense up or clench. Now start to notice a part of the body that feels neutral, feels okay, or maybe it even feels strong or good. Could be your pinky toe, and that's wonderful. And start to bring your awareness to that place. You can bring your hands to that place if it's available. If not, just bring your awareness there. And really focus in on that part of your body. For me, it's my legs, my thighs. And once again, imagine that you're breathing into that space, like you're sending your inhale to that part of the body. So we're now tuning into a part of you that already exists, that has a capacity to be disliked, that is okay with people not responding great, and is honestly just okay with not fawning. So stay with that place a little bit more. And let's give this part a sound as well. So inhale through the nose into that space. Exhale, give it a sound. One more time, deep inhale. Exhale the sound. And then when you're ready, start to bring your awareness to the entirety of the body. Maybe rubbing the thighs as you start to come back. Take a moment, look around your space, look fully over the right shoulder. And then back to center, fully over the left shoulder. And back to center, and then eventually tuning back into the screen. And go ahead and take a moment, and if you'd like, obviously no one but me and Parv can see your responses. So if you feel comfortable sharing anything that came up for you in that two-part meditation, you can go ahead and do that now. And for any of you wondering, that was a little somatic parts work meditation. really similar to what we're going to be doing in the 8-week course. I feel a little bit sad. Like I was watching myself from a distance when I was fawning. I actually cried when I had my hand to my chest. I've been neglecting myself. So that first sensation is the part of us that fears being disliked most. It's the part of us that we tend to before tuning into that part of us that's strong. Okay, someone said, bitch, you're stronger than you think. That's what I heard. I love that. Fawning felt protective, like putting armor or shields up. Yeah. The touch was nurturing and comforting, felt like that part of the scene. Tension in my neck and upper shoulder area. Sad when my hand was to my chest and cried as well. Didn't realize how much anxiety would come up just by recalling that experience. It was emotional to see myself in that context. Thought fawning was an asset in a way, but I'm realizing how it's just not me. How just not me it felt. It was hard to find the part of my body that was okay during fawning. Yeah, and that gets easier as you do this practice more. Meditation reminds us we're more capable of overcoming adversity. And then this will be the last one before we move on. I tuned into the part that wasn't fawning. I started smiling, felt like a little bit of freedom. All right. Well, thank you guys for sharing. We're now going to move into, unless you want to say anything, Barb, into some Q&A.
Yeah, I want to land that experience with a little context and articulate it for people. I also read that someone was having a hard time tuning into the feelings or feeling anything. And I just want to say, whatever you felt is okay. Like, nothing's wrong with you. And this is really important. I wanted to make that super clear about the fawn response as I was sharing my story is like, it's not bad. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. This is it's an instinct that we have to protect ourselves. So of course, as we start to slow down, sometimes those feelings that we haven't been permitting ourselves to feel, as we've been going through our day, as we've been in survival mode, as we've been in fawn without even really being conscious of it, as we slow down and put our hands on our hearts or do the breathing and the exercises that Callie just led us through, the feelings that really need to be felt that are softer, that are more vulnerable, or that are not necessarily safe to feel in survival mode will come to the surface to be felt. So a lot of people sharing sadness, it's such a clear signal that that feeling just needs to be like slowing down and feeling that feeling is really important. It's sort of, that's the path when you're asking how to stop fawning and how to stop people pleasing. It's taking these moments to remind your body that it's safe, to look around the room, to orient yourself to safety, to close your eyes and come into a meditation like this where you allow yourself to feel those feelings that you've been repressing or pushing down, because that's what teaches your body that it's safe to feel. And that's what teaches your body that it's safe to drop the armor and that you can be yourself and you don't have to necessarily armor up all the time. So we just create more moments like that and they have a cumulative effect. So sometimes in the beginning, as you're doing these kinds of exercises, there can be sadness or anger or grief that comes up. There's like those kind of darker emotions or feelings that aren't necessarily so pleasing or palatable for you to feel or for other people to witness. And they just need to come up. They just need to be felt and expressed. And then they'll clear and go away, and you'll have more and more space and capacity in your body. So yeah. I just want to
thank you so much for saying that, because I know for myself, I feel oftentimes something I have to remind myself all the time is I feel shame around this response because it can feel like a sense of self-betrayal. But I like to remind myself that it's coming from a deep place of love from your body to you, to protect you. And it's very reflexive, it's unconscious, but yeah, you said it.
And sometimes it's just a childhood coping strategy. That's where all of our survival instincts are, they come up and they get established in childhood. So as we become adults, they just, these responses become less effective and less supportive. So we just need to create new coping strategies. That's truly what we're working on. It's just developing new ways of feeling our feelings and being out in the world and expressing ourselves that are more aligned with where we want to go versus where we've been.
Yep, exactly. I also heard this quote from Luis Mojica. He's a somatic therapist, and he said, you can replace the language of I am fawning with my body is fawning. And even just my body is fawning, when I say that, it lands different in my body than I am fawning. So that's just an offer as well to think about. Okay, so we're gonna move now into Q&A for the last, we'll probably go 5 minutes over. So if you have any questions about anything that we have talked about today, about our course, go ahead and put that in the Q&A box.
How'd you find your community? I'll answer this for myself, because I have been building my community like very strategically since my divorce. And it's really rad. And like, it's one person at a time. I will engage with people who I enjoy spending time with, and I will invite them into my home, and I will invite them into my life more and more often. And people who I don't enjoy spending time with, I engage with far, far less or not at all if I can. And it's been rad. So I'm just building my community really one person and one experience at a time. And I've made a lot of incredible new friends who I've developed very strong, deep relationships with very quickly, which we're told, it's really funny because like we're told that it's hard to make friends as adults. And my experience has been quite the opposite. The more I've just been myself and asked for what I needed and invited people over and I'm just like me, it's so easy to meet people who I'm aligned with. And I'm just like looking for people who are in kind of either similar walks of life or who have open mindsets and are growth oriented, because those kind of people are the most fun to hang with. So I think building your community first starts with knowing who you are and what you enjoy, and then committing to that, committing to yourself, and then finding other people who align with that. What about you, Kelly?
Yeah, pretty much the same. Definitely, I think when you start fawning less, it definitely creates some kind of like Tetris shift in your life and your relationships. And a lot of people stay and those relationships get deeper because there's a more of an openness, a more of a sense of safety. And then what I found is that coming from a place of authenticity, when I meet people and I click with them, I know that the click is real. And it's not because I fabricated it, which like me and Parvati said, voted friendliest in high school, really good at fabricating the click. And so it's, yeah, it takes time. It's like Parvati said, one person at a time for myself as well. And then also seeking out group events. Like I created every Saturday, I play volleyball at the beach with my friends. So like be the one to be active about that. That's what I would say. There's a really good question here that says, what is one actionable thing that we can implement into our routine that would help tap into our capacity to be disliked?
Oh, we're going to give so many of those in the course. So just know that when you sign up for the course, you will be getting a lot of tactical, actionable strategies to support you in what we've kind of been touching on here today. Callie, do you have one specific one that you love?
Yes, I have so many. Okay. I would honestly say the one that we just did, you can do that every time that you notice any sense of fawning happening in your body. So in the course, we're actually going to dive pretty deeply into how does fawning feel in my body, and we're going to map it out, which is helpful to just get it on paper. But as of right now, like today, I would say when you notice, for me, I do this all the time on social media. When I get like a mean comment, happens all day long, I'll see it and I'll notice that first part of me that responds and, oh my God, this is so bad. Everyone hates us. Oh, and it's normally here for me. And I tend to that part, just like we did in the meditation. You can talk to it. You can tell it you're going to be okay. And then move to that secondary part of you that does not care about this random person on the internet commenting, and spend a few moments with that part as well. So that's what I would say.
Okay. And my favorite strategy is to pick a theme song and blast it. So one of my favorite songs is Bad Reputation by Joan Jett. Oh, it's so good. And you just blast it full blast. Anytime you feel like somebody's not going to like me, if I do this thing that I want to do, if I put the music out that I'm creating, if I do my art, if I go and do the improv troupe that I want to do, like people are going to think I'm stupid. Get yourself a theme song. Let it be like rock and roll, or let it be edgy. Let it have a lot of swear words in it. Like you want it to be naughty and bad and really, really go for it, and let it cruise through your whole body. That's one of my favorite ones to do. I've made full villain playlists, but we'll do that in the course, and we'll also create your villain persona in the course so you can step into that and you can feel the difference of what it feels like to play this character in your life and go larger than life with it, and then see the responses there. So we'll gamify it. And then, you know, when you take that cloak off and you're just being like your regular self asking for what you want, it's like not a big deal.
Yeah.
So we'll expand it and then shrink it back down. Mm-hmm. But I think, Callie, it's time for us to wrap up.
Yeah. So I have one more slide, and this is going to actually answer a lot of the questions about the course. Okay. So the course that we keep referencing, because I think some people actually don't know, it's called How Villains Are Made. So this is our little workshop, like a little taste test, like a Costco sample of what our course has within it. So it's an 8-week course. It will all be live Zoom sessions, just like this. Well, actually not just like this, better than this, because this is more of a one-way type of thing. The Zoom sessions will be the normal ones where each person has a little window. They'll be very interactive. And over 8 weeks, all of the recordings will go into a bank that you can access for the rest of your life. And in this course, me and Parvati will be basically doing what we just said, which is giving you the tools to heal this fawn response and step into your power, into your villain persona, through these practices, through creating a villain persona, through all these, honestly, a lot of them are really fun practices to support you moving through that. Do you have anything you want to add, Parv?
We have a question about the time frame the calls will be. So you have those logistics, right, Kelly?
Yes. I can get that to you in 1 minute.
I think they're going to be 75 minutes, aren't they?
Yeah, they're 75 minutes, and they will be Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific time. But if you can't make it, like I said, you'll have access to all the recordings.
Mm-hmm. You'll be able to email us if you need to. And we have a discount code for you for being here at our webinar. So when you sign up, put in workshop 100 and you get $100 off of the program for being here and attending the full Zoom, the full recording today. And these groups are really fun. It ends up being like, you get a lot of content from us and you can put these practices in place in your life. And you're also interacting and meeting with other people who are also working on the same thing. So you develop a nice support system with the other members of the group that you can continue to communicate with and work with as you keep going, even after the course is over.
Yeah. And then just one last logistic note. The payment plans start at $255 and the discount will work on all of the payment plan options, and it will not go into effect until you receive the email tomorrow with the recording. And that's all from me. Anything, any last words?
I don't think so. Thank you all so much for being here, for participating in the Q&A, and for asking your incredible questions and sharing this. Yeah, Erin asked, this is 8 weeks, will it all be digital? Yes, for now it'll be digital. Callie and I may potentially work on doing some live events and workshops, but anyone who's gonna be doing the live events and workshops, this 8 week course will be a prerequisite for that anyways, because we want to make sure that people have a foundation of the work before we meet live. So this is the starting point, the point of entry, and then we will just grow from here. Anything else, Kelly?
I think that's all. And all if right. you have any questions, you can send me an email at support@callisomatics.com. It'll be the email that you will get the recording and all the information from tomorrow. And that's all.
Excellent.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, you guys.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast and the workshop. If you'd like more, if you want more of the goodness of the villainry and the dark magic and parts work and somatic work and all of that survival secrets, maybe trader secrets too this time, I don't know, no promises, then come join us at the How Villains Are Made. It's an incredible program. Like I said before, people really get results from it. So if you're on the fence, just do it and register before April 7th and you'll be good to go. I can't wait to see you on the inside. Bye. That's all for today for the Your Own Medicine podcast. Thank you so much for listening. These episodes do come out pretty sporadically, so if you'd like to be notified each time a new episode comes out, please subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And you can always follow my journey along, which I always post when a new episode comes out on my social media, TikTok and Instagram, at Kelly Klug Yoga. And feel free to keep in touch. You can also check out my website at kellyklugyoga.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.